Good night, everybody. First of all, tonight's Divrei Torah are in the schus for an Ilui Neshama for Chaim Tzvi Zev ben Harav Ephraim, that is Harry Palkowitz, and for Moshe ben Shmuel, Miklos Schwartz. Their neshamas should have a tremendous aliyah in Gan Eden Shalmaila. Before we get to the sugi that we're going to discuss tonight, I want to point out one Ha'ara Halacha L'maisa that is very important, that from the research that I've done, asking my sister-in-laws, and what was that? Sisters-in-law, thank you. My all the women that I am affiliated with, other than the ones that grew up in my father's home, I find that most women do not know this halacha. It is beyond me why this is not taught to women. This is the one thing they have to know. And to many of us men who may wear... What? This is one halacha that's very important that they don't know. Oh. There might be some more, but here's one. And it's just a ha'ara halacha l'maisa, and I don't have a major bekiyas, but this is in Siman Tav Resh Nun Aleph, which is in Hilchas Lulav, where it's supposed to be. The Ramah says the following: a person nagu lahachmir lahasir hatfilin va'atabos miyadam. When you shake lulav, even for those of us who might wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed, the minig is that we take off the tefillin before we shake lulav. Why? The reason why the Ramah says, quoting a Maharil, is because otherwise it will constitute a possible chatzitza when you're holding the lulav and esrog. So, what is the difference between wearing tefillin and having a woman having a ring on her finger, or a man having a ring on his finger? That is the same chatzitza. Therefore, says the Ramah, not making it up, everyone can look it up in Taf Resh Nun Aleph, the Ramah says the minig is that we take off the rings from our fingers before we bench lulav and esrog, and we take off the tefillin. Now, the Medina, he says, Me'ikra din. A person is going to be yotzei. Why? Because it's not covering his whole hand. It's not like he's wearing a glove over his whole hand and he's not touching the lulav and esrog at all. But it does constitute a little bit of a chatzitza, and therefore he says we should be careful. That's if you stop reading there. Says the Mishnah Berurah, a little more intense. Says the Mishnah Berurah, Kama Achronim Kasvu. Who are these Kama Achronim? The Bach, the Taz, the Gra, Chayyadam, El Yaraba. It's a nice group of Achronim. Says the Mishnah Berurah, Kama Achronim Krasu, the Af Midina Yesh Hakpada Al Zemishim Chatzitza. Me'ikar Adin, if a person is not going to take off his tefillin before he shakes lulav, or he's not going to remove the rings from his fingers, that would constitute a chatzitza, he's not yotze the mitzvah. Even though it's not like wearing a glove on his whole hand, still, the fact that there's a little bit of a chatzitza would be an issue. And therefore, says the Mishnah Berurah, since we're not sure, since we have a machlokas achronim, it's up for debate, Mishnah Berurah says, if a person mistakenly shook lulav and esrog with his tefillin on his fingers, or wearing a ring, he must go ahead and shake again without a bracha. So don't, if someone's wife did not do this morning, it's too late to go home now and tell her to do it, because now it's already after Shkia, and we know you're only able to shake lulav during the day. But tomorrow morning, when your wife is going to shake lulav, or your sisters, or your children, so we should tell them to be careful not to have a chatzitza on their fingers. They should be makpid to take off the ring. The same way we would take off a ring when we go into the mikveh, the same way we take off a ring when we shake, when we wash our hands and feel sedayim, which I
don't.
So if they don't, that's a question. That's a question. But I think most women who have nice rings generally do take them off. If they don't take them off, it's very questionable why not. The only heter not to take off your ring when you're going to the mikveh or when you're washing your hands with Tilsa Daim is if when you would bake challah, when you would be doing something very dirty with your fingers, would you leave your diamond ring on? I venture to believe that most women would not leave their diamond rings on when they are kneading dough with their hands. Is that a fair assumption? No? You know one who does. Okay, I think most women generally would not leave their rings on because it gets all dirty in there, it's going to ruin the diamond, it's not going to be as pretty, whatever it is, I'm not sure. So if your wife happens to be the type of person who leaves it on, so you leave it on. So then we consider that a miyache and a makbid, that's something that we don't care about. However, if you're the type of person that takes it off, so then that's something to be concerned about, and therefore you would have to be careful about that when it comes to shaking lulav and esrog. So that's just for tomorrow morning. Now, let's get to something else in Hilchos Sukkah. So I'm going to ask a funny question. What's the halacha if I would like to build a sukkah on Chol HaMoed Sukkos? Anyone see any problem with that? I would say absolutely not. Many of us go away for some of the days of Sukkos. We come home for Chol HaMoed, we come home for second days, and we want to put up a sukkah for the remainder of the days of Sukkos. So I would assume that there's no issue with building a sukkah on Chol HaMoed. Not so simple, says the Gemara in Sukkah Daf Chav Zayin Amud Aleph Chav Zayin Amud Beis. It's really correct, because it's Chav Zayin Amud Aleph going to Chav Zayin Amud Beis. So the Gemara has a machlokes about this. Is a person able to build a sukkah on Chol HaMoed Sukkos? Now, you're raising the issue of doing malach on Chol HaMoed. We're not going to get to that yet. The Mishnah Berurah talks about that. But let's first get to the original issue. Is this sukkah considered a quality sukkah if it's only going to be for a couple of days of sukkahs? Says the Gemara, Tanya Rav Elazar Omer, Ein yotzei misukkah lesukkah. I'm not able to jump from one sukkah to the next. I'm not allowed to have a sukkah hop. I have to stay in one sukkah the whole entire yontif. Obviously, we don't paskin like that. Also, says Rav Elazar, Einos in sukkah b'chol HaShemoed. I have to make one sukkah that's going to last me the duration of the entire yontif. I can't make one sukkah in the middle of Chol HaMoed and expect that to work for the rest. That's not good enough. I have to build one sukkah, and that has to last me for the entire yontif. Fascinating halacha. However, the Chachamim Omrim, who we paskin like in Shulchan Aruch, Tafresh Lamed Zayin, Sif Aleph, the Mechaber paskins like the Chacham Shita, that obviously I'm allowed to do a sukkah hop, I'm allowed to eat one meal in this sukkah, one meal in someone else's sukkah, and also I'm allowed to build a sukkah in the middle of Chol HaMoed and use that for the duration of Yantiv. Fine, so that's the Machlokes, the Chachamim and Rav Elazar. Says the Gemara, why does Rav Elazar say that I need to have a sukkah for the duration of the entire Yantiv? Why can't I build a sukkah on Chol HaMoed? What's the problem? Says the Gemara, Amar Krak, as the Pasuk says, Chag HaSukkah Tasa Lecha Shivas Yamin. I must make a sukkah that's going to be for the entirety of the yontif. So therefore, if I'm not going to have it for the whole 7 days, meaning I'm only going to build on a Chol HaMoed, that would not be a kashra sukkah. Obviously, the halacha l'maisa is in Tafresh Lamed Zayin, the Mechaber paskins like the Chacham Shita, that one is allowed to build a sukkah on Chol HaMoed. Raising your issue, the Mishnah Berurah says, not only am I allowed to build a sukkah on Chol HaMoed, meaning to put the schach up, I'm even allowed to do real malacha. I'm allowed to do real banging the hammer and the nails. I'm allowed to do real malacha on Chol HaMoed. Why? Because it's a tzarech mitzvah, and a tzarech mitzvah on Chol HaMoed is mutter. Fine. That's with regard to that. Now, if you take a step back for a second, Rabbi Elazar was the one who believed that a person is not allowed to build a sukkah on Chol HaMoed. Correct? That's what we just learned? Let's just get that clear. Asks Rabbi Yashiv in his Sefer on Sukkah. He has Ha'aris on Al Seder Hadaf. So he asks a kasha on this Gemara. Fascinating kasha. He says, it's a Bekiyas, but he says, if you look in the Gemara in Shabbos Kuf Lamed Zayin, so the Gemara has a famous parak in Shas called the Parak of Elazar de Mila. And Rabbi Elazar has a famous shita that all of Machshir and Mila are Darcha Shabbos. What does that mean? If I think that I'm going to need a knife in order to do the Bris Mila, and right now I don't have one, on Shabbos I'm allowed to manufacture a knife in order to carry out the Bris Mila. We happen not to paskin like that. We feel that anything that was efshar lasas mivod yom, anything that I could have taken care of before, so then I have no excuse on Shabbos to violate a malacha in order to do right now. But Rabbi Elazar himself believes that machshirei mitzvah doches haShabbos. Not only is the mila itself doches haShabbos, even the preparatory stages are also doches haShabbos. Within the context of that Gemara in Kuf Lamed Zayin, the Gemara says machshirei sukkah are doches haShabbos. If a person comes to Sukkahs and his sukkah is not made, so he's allowed to go and do malacha to make his sukkah. That's what Rav Elazar says. The same way that Machshirei Mila are Darcha Shabbos and Machshirei Sukkah are also Darcha Shabbos. Ask Rav Yashiv, put the two shitas of Rav Elazar together. It's impossible. How does Rav Elazar ever have a case of when a person is going to have to sit down and build a sukkah on Yontif? If you don't have a sukkah for the duration of the whole 7 days, Rav Elazar believes that it's possible. So what's going on here? How does the Gemara say in Shabbos Kuf Lamed Zayin that Rabbi Elazar feels that it's mutter for a person to build a sukkah in the middle of Yontif? What do you mean? If you build a sukkah in the middle of Yontif, you can't use it. Isn't that sharp? An amazing kasha. So that's the kasha of Rabbi Yashiv.
What does it mean, middle of Yontif? Chol HaMoed?
So the Gemara over there is saying not only build it during Chol HaMoed, Rabbi Elazar even believes you're allowed to build it on Yontif itself. But the problem is, once Yontif sets in, once the first second of Yontif sets in, so then I don't have 7 straight days, so then I can't be yet to the midst of a sukkah according to Rabbi Elazar. So that's the kasha, very stark and tiny. So he gives a suggestion. He says, maybe you're going to say that he's talking about the Shabbos preceding Yontif, right? Rabbi Elazar would believe that I'm even allowed to build my sukkah on the Shabbos before Yontif begins. But then he says, that can't be. What do you mean? It's not the time of the mitzvah. How am I allowed to do that? You can't just go and be Mechal Shabbos whenever I want.
And Arab sukkahs can't be on Shabbos.
So what's going on here? So therefore, suggests Rabbi Yashiv, I'm saying, I don't know why Rabbi Yashiv doesn't say the most obvious teretz. I think the most pashut of teretz is, if you look in the Gemara over there, when the Gemara originally quotes the Machlekes Rabbi Elazar and the Chachamim, the Gemara states clearly that both Rabbi Elazar and the Chachamim would agree that if a person was responsible and he built the sukkah before sukkahs, but now it falls down, a wind comes and blows it over, or the rain comes and knocks everything down, everyone agrees you're allowed to build it on Chol HaMoed. So why can you say that's what he's talking about? I built my sukkah. I was responsible. I did everything in the right way. And now here comes Yom Tov, and I have no sukkah because it blew away. So now Rabbi Elazar would agree that in such a case I'm allowed to build a sukkah and that would be kosher. So that's the most obvious teretz. I'm not sure why he doesn't say that. But he gives a big charifus. Says Rabbi Yashiv as follows. In answering this kasha, Rabbi Yashiv writes that what are we talking about? When is that case in Shabbos referring to? When we say in Shabbos Kuf Lamed Zayin, Rabbi Elazar's shita is that I'm allowed to build my sukkah on Shabbos itself. What are we referring to? Says Rabbi Yashiv, that case is talking about Bisman Tosefes Yantiv. What does that mean? What do you mean? Tosefes Yantiv is a shayla if it's deraisa derabanan. Let's assume it's deraisa. So now what? What does that help me? So he says the following. It's a major chiddush. He says the Magen Avraham writes in Hilchos Pesach in Siman Taf Tzadi Aleph Sif Aleph. Says the Magen Avraham as follows. When a person, let's say, he's mekabel Tosefes Yantiv after Pesach is over. Right? He decides he's not going to daven Maariv for another hour and a half. He's not going to make Avdalah for an hour and a half after Pesach. Right? Is he allowed to have anah from chametz in that hour and a half? In his man Tosefes? So I would have said, no. What do you mean? If I'm moisif onto the yantav of Pesach, so all the rules of Pesach apply. Says the Magen Avraham, incorrect. All Tosefes, Shabbos, and yantav means is that I'm asur b'malacha. I'm not allowed to drive home. I'm not allowed to talk on the phone. I'm not allowed to do any malacha. However, we don't apply all the dinim of yantav. We don't say that that extends over into yantav itself. Very questionable chiddush, but the Magen Avraham writes this way. And therefore he says, if let's say I'm moisif an hour and a half at the end of Pesach, I'm allowed to have anah right away after Pesach is over. I'm allowed to have anah. I'm just asur b'malacha until I make avdalah. So that's what the Magen Avraham's chiddush is. So Rabbi Yashiv brings that over to our case and he says the same would apply over here. When does Rabbi Elazar say I'm allowed to build my sukkah on yantif? That's talking about when I'm a kabel sukkah is an hour early. So the dinim of yantif don't apply yet. I don't yet have to sit in sukkah because yantif didn't begin. So therefore, since I don't have to start sitting in sukkah, so my 7-day count doesn't start either. And that's when Rabbi Elazar says I'm allowed to be mechalal yantif, even though I have an iser malacha that sets in right away when I'm mechalal to the seventh yantif. I'm allowed to be mechalal yantif to build my sukkah. Tremendous chiddush, and it's not the pashup shot in the Gemara. The pashup shot in the Gemara is like the Gemara says. When is Rabbi Elazar referring to? When a person is responsible when he builds a sukkah properly, but it falls down. So I'm not sure why Rabbi Yashiv doesn't say that, but it's an interesting chiddush to know about anyway. So let's talk about just a couple of other cases where we find the similar type of context that you need the sukkah for 7 days. Example number two, the Gemara says in sukkah daf chav gimel, we'll just jump a few cases. The Gemara says sukkah chav gimel, amin aleph, the following story. Tanya, ha'osis ukaso agabi behema. You have an individual who chooses to make a sukkah on top of an animal. Whatever, for some reason he wants to make a sukkah on top of an animal. Rameir says, what could be wrong with such a sukkah? What's wrong? It's stable. The animal has a whole chariot that it's carrying at different parts of the year, so why can't I put a sukkah on the back of the animal? It's fine too. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, it's possible. What's the machlokes or mayor Rabbi Yehuda? Says Rabbi Yehuda, no. Chaga sukkah tasa lecha shivas yamim. I need to have a sukkah that it's possible for me to use for the duration of the 7 days of sukkahs. And therefore, since on Shabbos we know there's exer derabanan and olin agavi behema, I'm not allowed to use an animal on Shabbos. So, and Shabbos is always going to come out at some point during sukkahs. So therefore, Rabbi Yehuda says, if I build a sukkah on top of an animal, that is not a kosher sukkah because it cannot be used for the duration of yantif. That's the shita of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Meir disagrees. Rabbi Meir says, no, you're right, we need a sukkah that's possible to be used for 7 days, but over here, this is just gzeira d'rabbanan why I can't use it. On the strict letter of the law, the strict din d'oraisa is, I'm allowed to go on an animal on Shabbos. So therefore, Rabbi Meir disagrees with Rabbi Yehuda, but the bottom line is, they both agree that I need to have a sukkah that is going to last for the next 7 days. That's from that Gemara. Shulchan Aruch Arachaim Simatav Reish Lamed Sifyud Beis. The Shulchan Aruch has an interesting psak. What if I'm missing a wall of my sukkah? So what do I do on yantiv itself? We paskin are not allowed to do malacha on yantiv to build a sukkah. So what do? Now I'm stuck. I only have two walls of the sukkah. Now I'm stuck. What do? Says the Shulchan Aruch, you're allowed to have someone, one of your friends, can come and stand there and be the dofen for the sukkah. Nice friend of yours. He's going to stand there and be the sukkah. Right? Okay, so that's the Psak and Shulchan Aruch. If you look in the Sefer, the Adaris has a Sefer called Over Oreach. It's a fascinating Sefer. He put together all the letters that he, all the correspondence that he had by all the Archim, all the guests that came through his home when they were traveling to different places or when he was traveling, and he had correspondence with all these big Talmid Chacham, so he put out a beautiful Sefer of all the correspondence that he had. So in the Sefer Over Oreach, he has a suffix in there. If the Shulchan Aruch is correct, then I'm allowed to have my friend stand there and be the wall of my sukkah. So he says, what's the halacha? Let's say that guy gets hungry. So am I allowed to eat? Is a wall allowed to eat? Or do we assume that, no, he doesn't count. He's not in the sukkah. He's part of the sukkah. He's part of the structure. He's part of the infrastructure. He's not in the sukkah. He's out of the sukkah. So that's a suffix that that there is. That's a fascinating suffix. You think about it. You're saying... No, he's still a human being. The question is he considered... The question is he considered inside of the sukkah or is he considered outside of the sukkah? So that's a fascinating suffix. And when it comes up, we'll discuss the shayla. But... Lamaisa and Shulchan Aruch Tafrei Shlamed, that's the Psak HaMakubal, that we are allowed to use a human being as the dofen for the sukkah. So ask the Achronim, how can this be? Don't we know a person is not, it's not possible for a person to stand in one place for 7 days straight, right? If we know that you need a sukkah that's Roi L'Shiva, how can it be that I expect a human being to stand in one place for the next 7 days? That's not a possibility, that's impossible. No one can ever do that. In fact, the Gemara says in Nedarim and in Sukkah as well, Sukkah's in the Nuns and in the Dharmans and Daf Tazayin. So the Gemara tells us, a person makes a nether, Shua Shalo Ishan. I make a Shua, I'm not going to sleep for the next 7 days. So the Gemara says, we give him Malchus right away. It's impossible. There's no way that you can stand up straight for the next 7 days and never sleep. It's impossible. We give him Malchus right away for making a Shua that's impossible to ever try to achieve or ever try to keep. So you see from the Gemara clearly that it's impossible for a person just to stand still for 7 days straight. So therefore, over here, what is the... What?
The sukkah really is the spot, so who says you can't change parts of the wall?
Very good, very good. So some Achronim wanted to make that suggestion, that maybe the only time we say you need a sukkah arayi l'shiva, that's only with regard to the schach, because the ikar schach is really the main part of the sukkah, but the defanos, that's only, I don't know if you call it a hefshar mitzvah, but it's an outside factor. The problem is, it's clear... What? One second. So you still... The problem with your suggestion is, it's very good... You still need a minimum amount of walls. Right, but he's saying you'll switch people. Today, this guy will stand there. Tomorrow, the next guy will stand there. So the issue with that suggestion is that it's clear from many different Rishonim and Achronim that you can't assume that this din of Roi L'Shiva is only set on the Defanos. It's only set on the Schach. It's obviously set on the Defanos as well. But if you look clearly in a bunch of Sugyas and Sukkah, that suggestion is suggested, but then they point out that it's impossible based on a bunch of other Makaras. So the Marsham wants to suggest one possibility, that maybe when the Gemara says that I need a sukkah that's fit for 7 days straight, that's only for 7 days, but maybe not for the nighttime. So the guy can take a break. At night he can leave, he can go away, and he'll come back during the day. Let him go to sleep at night, let him stand there all day long, he'll get paid for what he's doing. But the problem is with that also, that from Rashi and Sukkah Daf Mem Ches, from many other Makaras also, it seems that no, when the Gemara says you need a 7 day structure, it sounds like it has to be 7 days straight, days and nights. So Rabbi Yashav gives his own suggestion, possibly, that when the Gemara says you need a structure that's going to last 7 days, that doesn't mean practically that it's going to be here for 7 days. Don't we know? We started off tonight by saying that if I build a sukkah on Chol HaMoed, I'm able to use it. What do you mean? That's not 7 days. So how can that work? If everyone agrees you need a sukkah that's going to stand for 7 days, so the answer is, you don't need a sukkah that's actually going to be physically standing for 7 days. It has to be the type of sukkah that could last for 7 days straight. So therefore, if I have a strong human being, this is something that could last for 7 days straight. You're right, practically the person can't stand there, you have outside considerations. But bottom line is that this is the type of sukkah that's a strong sukkah. And right now I could be mekayem mitzvah with a sukkah of this type of nature. Similarly, we find the Ritva in sukkah that writes, the reason why if you build a sukkah that's able to be blown over by the wind, why is that a possible sukkah? So the Ritva writes, the reason why is because that's not something that's Roi L'Shiva. That's not something that can stand, that has the probability of standing for 7 days. It's not a strong structure. Even though it might end up standing for 7 days because no wind comes, says the Ritva, that would not be sufficient. That would not be good enough. And one last point I want to make. It's a major problem. It's a major problem with a pop-up sukkah. The Gemara says clearly, this is not up for discussion, the Gemara says very clearly, if you have a sukkah that's Eina Yachal Lamad Baruach Matsuya, with a regular wind that comes, if the sukkah would blow over, it's possible a sukkah. The Gemara just says, if I have a sukkah that's Eina Yachal Lamad Baruach She'ena Matsuya, I have all of a sudden a hurricane, a tornado comes, and then my sukkah blows over, okay, what am I supposed to do? I can't build a building for sukkahs. But if it's something that can't even stand for a regular wind that's going to come by, that's a possible sukkah for sure. So you have to tie it down, you have to figure out what to do. One last point we'll make is the following. There's one more fascinating Gemara in Sukkah Daf Zayin. We're being Mekayim Deraisa here, guys. It says the Ramban writes on Chumash, Mekrei Kodesh, is to learn on Yontif. So here we are. Another couple of minutes, and we'll daven Maariv. One last thing for the Kiyum Deraisa of the Ramban. The Gemara says in Sukkah Daf Zayin that We have a fascinating concept. By Shabbos and by Sukkah, we have mechitzas that are not at all similar. Take, for example, when we make an erev around the city on Shabbos. So, what kind of mechitza do we have? Does anyone see a wall? So what do we have? We put a lechi over here, we put a lechi down the block, and then we put a string going down the whole block. That's a mechitza? How can that be a mechitza? So says the Gemara in Erevin and in Shabbos, that there's a special halacha by Shabbos that even a mechitza that's more parutz than omed, even if it's more open than it is filled in, that's still considered a mechitza. A big chiddush with regard to an erev with regard to Shabbos. However, when it comes to making a dofen, a mechitza for Shabbos, I'm sorry, for Sukkah, so over there the halacha is clearly that you need omed merubah laparutz. You need to have more filled in space along the wall than you have gaps within the wall. So therefore, if I decide to make my wall out of a bunch of twigs, so that's all fine as long as there's more twigs than there is open airspace. So that's the halacha. So ask the Gemara a question. What would be the din if, let's say, I have a great idea. This year I decide I'm going to make an Erev over the entire Lawrence for Rockaway Five Towns area. How am I going to do that? I'll figure out a way to put schach on top of all the Erev strings around the whole neighborhood. Somehow I'll figure out how to attach the schach, but I'm going to put it over the entire neighborhood, just lay it right over the mechitzas of the Erev, and assume that that should be a good sukkah for the whole neighborhood. So what would we say? I would say, of course it doesn't work. What do you mean? That's not a mechitza for sukkah. That's a special halacha by Shabbos, that you're allowed to have open walls that are not filled in. I'm allowed to just have a string. That's good enough. That's a special din by Erev, but that doesn't help me for a sukkah. I can't just put schach on top of the whole neighborhood and think that's good. Says the Gemara, no. We have a special halacha when it comes to Shabbos Chol HaMoed Sukkos. Migu Dehavi Dofen Le'inyan Shabbos. Since this is considered the definition of a wall with regarding Shabbos with the Chiddush of an Erev, so therefore, Habidofen Nami Le'inyan Sukkah. We can carry it over also and say that if on Shabbos, Chol HaMoed Sukkos, I recognize this as a wall with regard to an Erev, I can carry that over and say we recognize it as a wall also for a Sukkah, even though generally it shouldn't work for a Sukkah. So that's the big Chiddush of the Gemara in Sukkah Dav Zayin. Okay? That's the Chiddush, and ask the Rashash on Dav Zayin, he's right on the mark. Ask the Rashash, what do you mean? You need a sukkah ruyah l'shiva. You need a sukkah that can last 7 days. So over here the Gemara tells me we have a chiddush that on Shabbos Chol HaMoed Sukkos I'm able to put schach on top of all the erev all over the neighborhood and that would be good enough because since it's a dofen for Shabbos it's going to be considered a dofen for sukkah also. What do you mean? I can't use it the rest of Sukkos and we need a sukkah ruyah l'shiva. That's not considered good enough for 7 days. I can only use it one day of Sukkos. I can only use it the day of Shabbos. So that's the kasha of the Rashash. You look over there, the Rashash has a fascinating answer. But one very insightful point I want to make. It's not my own point. It's the Rush, it's the Psalm Sofer. They point this out. That based on this Gemara, you see that sometimes we can borrow concepts in Halacha when the two things happen to jive with each other. So we can borrow the concept from A and bring it over to B, even though generally it would not apply there. So one practical example is the following. Rabbi Avadi Yosef has the following Ha'ara. He says that the Rush writes in Psachim, in the 10th Parak in Psachim, in Parak Avri Psachim, that we know that Moshe Rabbeinu died on Shabbos. Some say that Moshe Rabbeinu died on Shabbos. Ask the Rush, what do you mean? Moshe Rabbeinu died on Shabbos. Doesn't Rashi tell us in Chumash that Moshe Rabbeinu, the day he died, wrote 13 Sefer Torah? So, Ksiv is also on Shabbos. So how is Moshe Rabbeinu allowed to write 13 Sefer Torah the day that he died? He died on Shabbos. No? So he did it Arab Shabbos. No, the problem is the Gemara says over here that he wrote them on the last day that he lived. So says the Rush. The Rush writes the following. Moshe Rabbeinu knew he had to write these 13 Sefer Torah for whatever reason it was. So he did a miracle and he wrote it Al Yidei Shem. He used Shem Havaya and all of a sudden, poof, 13 Sefer Torah were written by Moshe Rabbeinu on Shabbos. Okay, interesting suggestion. But asks Rabbi Avadi Yosef, Menachas Chinuch has a similar question, just a little bit of a different spin. Rabbi Avadi Yosef and Tshuva asked the following question. If we see from our Gemara that when we have two halachas that come together, we're able to apply halachas from Din A and bring them over to Din B, so let's apply that over here. If Moshe Rabbeinu wrote Sefer Torah on Shabbos, and we say he wrote it Al Yidei Shem, and we're going to say that Ksiva Sefer Torah, you could be Yotze if you just write it through using Hocus Pocus, through using Shem Havaya, however you're going to do it, that's considered a Kiyam HaMitzvah of Ksiva Sefer Torah, asks from Avadi Yosef, so then why don't we say that a person is allowed to write on Shabbos Al Yidei Shem? If a person does magic on Shabbos, and he figures out how to write a letter through using Shem Havaya, so we should say that that's called Ksivan Shabbos. You should be Chayiv. Correct? Why don't we borrow the halacha over there? If you see that Moshe Rabbeinu wrote Sefer Torah and that's considered a Ksiva with regard to the mitzvah of Ksiva Sefer Torah, if you use magic to write a Sefer Torah, so he says, why don't you borrow that halacha and say over here also that if you use magic to write on Shabbos, whatever you're going to write, that should be considered a malacha of Kosev on Shabbos. So that's the hara of Rabbi Avadi Yosef, and it's something to think about. Sometimes when we have halachos that we have the same type of terminology, we have ksiva over here, we have ksiva over there. Over here we have mechitzas for a sukkah, we have mechitzas for Shabbos, for an Erev. So sometimes we have to figure out, do we borrow the halachos from one and bring them over to the other, or do we say no? Each area of halacha sticks with its own set of rules, and each area is to be with its own rules, and they're not to be interconnected. Sometimes you're supposed to say the mechitzas of Shabbos are supposed to say with Shabbos and are not to be connected to the mechitzas of Sukkah. Sometimes you say not like that. Sometimes we do put things together. So that's something just to think about as we go through different types of sugyas and halacha and see different types of halacha lamaisa. We should figure out whether the halachas apply to each other or not. Have an unbelievable rest of Yom Tov.